Starting now.
Okay. All right. Hello. Welcome, everyone. Houston Wrestling Radio presents the first installment of Turnbuckle Theater.
Yay. Oh, yeah, curtains or a
toddler. I understood. Yeah. Yes. That was very nice.
Couple of, what do we got over here? A couple of curtain jerkers.
All right, guys. So, yeah, another new show.
It's all downhill from here, ladies and gentlemen.
All downhill.
Yeah.
A new concept we got where we'll watch like a DVD or something on a network, something like that, and then we review it. And seeing how a week from today is Royal Rumble in San Antonio that we are heading to, the Alamo Dome.
Even he's going.
I'm going.
No, wait, even he's going.
We're all going. We're all going.
Separately.
Yeah, we figured
it out. Why don't you sit together?
Well,
screw these guys.
Well, better way to get hype than to watch the latest DVD on the subject matter, the true story of the Royal Rumble, and then sit here and talk about it and talk about the Royal Rumble itself and see if this really gets our mojo going as far as getting excited for the event. The mojo going, yes.
Somebody's been watching pop culture. Mm-hmm. They're the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, first questions first, I guess, just off the top.
The beginning.
Does this hype you up for do you feel more excited for next week than what you did coming in here yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I was already excited just because we're going to be there, but plus it's the Royal Frickin' Rumbles, but
30th anniversary,
right? Yeah. And then on top of that, just whenever you see it on in action, it is kind of, you know, get your blood pumped a little bit. You know, you're getting amped up to go watch it anymore. This is like anytime you throw on a Royal Rumble match on the TV, for background, whatever, you start getting in
nostalgic.
Well, not only that, but you start to get into it, even though it's just a Royal Rumble. It's just a battle royal. But when you start, when those countdowns start going, you stop what you're doing, you look up, even though you know who's, but you still got to see the reaction. You got to see, you know, you got to see
how. God damn it. I think people in San Antonio might ruin it this year.
Why?
You know, every other pay-per-view we've had, instead of counting down the numbers, they're just going 10, 10, 10. I hope
not everybody does that. Like, I could forgive it if it happens only on number 10 in anticipation for Ty Dillinger coming out as number 10. But if number 10 comes around and it's not Ty Dillinger,
and they keep going,
give it up. Yeah. Just fuck that shit. You're going to ruin the entire Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. That's what I'd say.
All right, yeah.
As far as for me goes, truth be told, we're watching this off of my computer because I bought this about a month and a half ago, and I've been watching it every week. I like watching the behind-the-scenes stuff that I'm not aware of because I'm not going to go surf through Wikipedia to find out how it happened.
Right.
The same thing with the WrestleMania documentary, which this is kind of based the idea of this Royal Rumble movie is based off of the WrestleMania one that came out, and they broke down like every year, like from the beginning, how it happened and how things came up to be. So when I saw that it was going to be an hour long, I was like, I'm kind of glad because you don't really need to break down everything just enough. Mostly from the beginning, so I had no idea about the whole.
This DVD did a good job of breaking down, just like give you just enough of bits and pieces of the segments to talk about for Royal Rumble, the Royal match, the non-Rumble matches, the build up, how it started.
The WrestleMania movie version, there's so many different matches that you can touch on every single one or every other one and not get bored. Basically, for the Royal Rumble, the concept match itself is what's gonna is the constant every year. So I wasn't expecting it to be that long. I like the whole breakdown of it's Pat Patterson's idea, and he broke it down with Dick Ebersol. I didn't know any of that stuff, you know, and I wasn't gonna go searching for Wikipedia.
Did y'all know that it was Pat Patterson?
I didn't really ever knew.
No, either one.
I didn't know.
No.
Okay.
No. I guess I'm gonna live up to the professor title.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You earned it.
There was one little bit of tidbit that I did learn from this thing, but I think we might get into that later.
So. Okay. All right.
So, Chris, you're basically saying that you done been hyped.
Oh, man, I'm ready. This is my third Royal Rumble.
Okay.
And another sidebar to this movie, it's kind of like
documentary.
It's kind of like – have you seen Deadpool?
Yeah.
Like they go back in the past and then they catch up to four time and they go back in the past, catch up four time.
It's not just a Deadpool thing. They've done it several times.
Yeah, but that's the
I think that's all of Tarantino's career, right?
Fuck that guy. Mm-hmm. So basically, this kind of is a little documentary of the 2016 Royal Rumble, because they go back and forth between the building of the setup and building in the surprises and the numbers don't lie. And then we go back to how it all adds up from the past to get to the point. So mm-hmm. going back and forth, it's kind of a nice little summary of that of that Royal Rumble, because it's the most recent one that happened.
Yeah.
So the beginning gets knocked out, and right off the bat, 15 minutes in, 10 minutes in, they get right into the hero of the day. They, 1 year, it's Roman Reigns. The year before that was Batista, and they both got booed the fuck out of the building. Yeah. Why? Because it wasn't Daniel Bryan. And they openly talked about this.
Yeah.
What did you think as soon as you saw that come up on the screen?
will WWE talk about it? And they did. Yeah. And that was interesting. But I also like saw it from the perspective of them on the inside. And one thing I told you, I was like, hey, write this down because I want to talk about it.
Change global plans for one city.
Yeah. And who said that? That was Michael Hayes. Yeah, he said that. And that was his reaction to people booing Roman out of the building. Like, oh, well, we can't change global plans for one city. And that to me tells me that that is what their mindset is. That, oh, that's just Philly, or that's just New Jersey, or that's just, you know, Boston, or wherever they are. In those few cities in the Northeast where it's just marquee crowds.
I just picture, like, Michael Hayes, like, every week on Raw, they say the same thing. It's just one city.
Yeah, that's kind of Vince
that's
McMahon,
my point.
Vince McMahon's motto for everybody in the building. He's like, this is how I'm going to get what I want, how I want it, when I want it. You can't change your global plans for one city. Live by that mantra, and you will. And as long as you do, I will employ you.
Yeah,
because did they not catch? Because that was the year that when P.S. Hayes said that, that was the year that Roman Reigns won it.
Right?
Did they mm-hmm. not learn their lesson from the year before?
I thought it was weird. On this, that was a weird thing about this DVD. I thought it was weird that they started with Roman Reigns and then they went back a year before that to Batista's mm-hmm. fiasco when
Bryan wasn't even in the Rumble and Batista had come back mm-hmm. Promoting Guardians of the Galaxy.
And he what if that was an editing way of saving face on their end of not really, if you didn't pay attention, you would you know, if you didn't, if you weren't paying attention to the years, you wouldn't know the Roman Reigns thing, that was the second time that actually happened. What?
Yeah.
You know?
The way that they cut that together, it was an interesting way. Yeah, I think they were just trying to save face on it while still addressing it and making it seem like they're coming clean.
Because they would have basically, the cards would have been out on the table that basically they screwed up by picking Roman Reigns. The reason people were cheering Roman Reigns the year Batista won was because anybody was better than Batista. Right. Not because, oh my God, Roman's the second coming of John Cena. And if they would have had the Batista one first and then there are Roman Reigns, then you could have put two and two together, say all this was because Daniel Bryan wasn't here. That's why Roman Reigns got the alleged push that everybody thought it was, when in fact it wasn't for Roman, it was against Batista.
Batista, yeah.
And so having Roman win the second year was literally not – people weren't booing Roman. They were just pro Bryan.
I wouldn't even say it was against Batista. It was against not Bryan. That's what it was really against.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get back to is the thing that PSA said. It gives you a window into their own psyche, mm-hmm. into their own mentality. We have all these plans, and they're global. They're worldwide plans. And, one bad night on the job, that doesn't affect what everybody around the world is thinking at home. And that's their mindset. And I think that if you get that tunnel vision, you won't see the bigger picture of the rest of your fans, the rest of us. I mean, yeah, sure, you go to Kansas City or you go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, they're probably not going to be like the most fanatic, you know, hardcore fans. They're just probably, hey, wrestling's coming to town, let's go check it out. And they're not going to like boo and cheer the way your hardcore base audience cheers or boos. So by their definition, hey, this is another city that we got, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars from. So their opinion is just as good as the opinion of the people in Jersey. So sometimes they cheer, sometimes they boo. We don't know, but we're making money. So, it's kind of problematic, you know?
There's a case for that, but there's also a case of just the Roman Reigns situation altogether. Not to just veer off of Royal Rumble and talk about Roman Reigns, because I feel like what we're doing, but the Roman Reigns is a whole different situation, because it's not just one city that's booing him. It's unanimous, you know?
Well, I mean, you say that we're you don't want to veer off by just talking about Roman Reigns. That's kind of how I felt this documentary was going when they kept going back to that particular year of Royal Rumble and how they kept talking about Roman. I was like, yeah, forget talking about Roman. I want to hear about the 30-year rich history of Royal Rumble. Right. So,
well, that goes back to the format. It was because it just so happens that they filmed it during last year's Royal Rumble, which Roman Reigns was number one. He's the champion,
defending
the title. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I like that. I like that concept last year of he was number one. He was the champion. He had to defend it because it harkened back to an earlier Royal Rumble where the title was on the line. Mm-hmm. And but to your point, that's why it did feel like it kept going on about Roman Reigns, because this every time we go back to the present stuff.
He was part of all Roman.
All right. Well, then let's get back to
this. So part of the reactions of Roman and Batista getting booed, you might want to classify that as WWE thinking, wait, that's not supposed to happen, you know, because you're building up Roman Reigns as the hero against the establishment, and he's getting booed. Those were not the only instances of things at the Royal Rumble itself that weren't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
What's one that pops into your mind right off the bat after watching the whole segment?
Well, the whole thing with Stone Cold, where he said that he got eliminated, but he wasn't supposed to get eliminated, so he went back in. Like, wait, what? That wasn't supposed to happen? Okay, well, that's –
I never knew that. I didn't know that either. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was the same one. That was the one I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. It was interesting that they just called it on the fly there and how to fix the issue.
Like, oh, the ref didn't see it. Oh, okay.
So how do you fix the Rock's feet touching the
floor? Make a storyline out of it. That's what they did after. Yeah, I remember that.
That's exactly what they did.
Right after the next night on Raw. That was leading the storyline to WrestleMania.
Well, same with Cena and Batista, you know?
Yeah. Well, they restarted that one. And, yeah. But the bigger story in that one was the whole McMahon coming out and blowing both quads.
Restart it. Get out. Ah.
Pretty much.
The whole Bret Hart, Lex Luger, both getting eliminated at the same time. Mm-hmm. Was that double elimination pulled off smoother than Batista Cena's double elimination, or were they both just as bad?
That was planned.
It was planned. That's exactly what I was saying. The one with Cena and Batista said it himself. He was going to get him up and take him from one turnbuckle to the other, but he like took him, put too much mustard on it, fell back and fell out. That wasn't supposed to happen. So the one time that it was coordinated between Luger and Hart, it worked because it was Luger and Hart trying to actually do it, you know? So, yeah.
Then they went on and they showed footage that WWE had wound up airing the next day on their Facebook page. A black Suburban pulling up to the back of the Amway Center in Orlando.
Yeah.
And you see somebody wearing a hood come out of it. It's AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. AJ Styles' debut. This was the surprise element of the whole Royal Rumble match itself, where you never know who's going to come out. Dean Ambrose's girlfriend, the chick from Talking
Smack,
Renee Young. You don't only have to worry about who's on television, but who's not around you.
Yeah.
As far as who's going to show up in the Royal Rumble,
might be due up for a return. Yeah.
Who's been out for a while? Who haven't you seen in a while? Yeah. And you start thinking about it. You know?
Yeah.
Favorite surprise?
Oh, geez.
Of all time in the Rumble?
I'm going to say AJ. AJ Styles is a big one up there. I mean, it's always fun to see a surprise. When I think of surprises, some of the ones – I'm not going to say these are my favorites, but just the ones that are coming on my mind is Diesel. Mm-hmm. Come back 2013?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
2013, which they pointed out on the DVD. 2008 was Roddy Piper and RVD. Came back that year too.
Yeah.
I don't think they mentioned RVD.
No, they didn't.
No.
But I just happened to rewatch 2008 not too long ago. I was like, hey, I remember that. He had a good pop too.
Yeah.
It was a good reaction from the participants that was in the ring already. But yeah, I mean, it's always fun, but I think, you know, AJ, maybe it's cause it's the freshest and we've seen the fruits of it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to not pick AJ because like you said, it's fresh. It just happened. And for me personally, I was actually there when it happened.
Right.
But, one that, that me personally, I didn't like, but in hindsight, the commentary like built and everybody in the ring built it up so well. Was the Royal Rumble 2008 with John Cena debuted and nobody had seen. That was the first instance of Super Cena, the human being, where you're supposed to be out for 9 months and you're back in like 2 weeks and two cups of coffee.
Wow.
Like, and
that's a bit of a hyperbole.
Yeah, but him showing up and Triple H selling it, everybody got in their signature catchphrases on commentary. Joey Styles, oh my God, and Jerry Lawler, what? And then the crowd, in that moment, at that, we had this conversation while we were watching it, that you were wondering if Cena had the hate by then, and we had broken down the timeline that he definitely had the hate. Even when I was at the sports bar watching it, already with tickets in hand for that WrestleMania 24, when Cena came out, I was like, fuck, he's winning it. You know, at that moment, I wasn't really happy about it, but watching it back now, like seeing how everything built up and how the whole thing was presented, and that crowd, like in that moment, they forgot the Cena hate for like 15 or 20 seconds. That pop he got, I'm surprised there was still a roof over MSG.
That was MSG also.
I got to agree with you. I think my most visceral reaction to somebody returning was Cena number 30
I had to convince you to go to that WrestleMania. You didn't have the tickets then.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I didn't have the tickets, but I remember vividly that entire night watching it. And it was I didn't have such a strong reaction to anyone else. You know, AJ coming back, I had a strong reaction. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, woo. Jericho, all the other guys that you mentioned coming back, I'm like, yeah. But I had such a, like, flip the table. I can't believe. And it, I mean, you want to say favorite. Well, for me, it wasn't favorite because I didn't necessarily like it, but it was the strongest reaction a Royal Rumble surprise has ever gotten out of me, with Cena coming back in number 30. I'm like, and yes, I very vividly remember, yes, Travis, Cena hate was already a thing by that
running
time.
Wild,
it was brother. Running wild, yeah. Because I also remember, like, oh, those few months without Cena, oh, thank God Cena's been gone, we've been doing this and that, and there's so much of the possibilities. Everybody in my circle of friends at that time was really enjoying not having Cena around.
And the brand split was going on strong. Like, it had finally got its footing.
Yeah, and then Cena showed up, and I was like, no. It's like, I was out, and then you pulled me back in, Cena. Yeah.
How about the undercard? They actually made a big emphasis of the matches building up to the Royal Rumble on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. They talked about 2016 being Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. I think that was the first time the Intercontinental belt was defended on the Rumble in like 5 or 6 years.
There's been quite a few IC title matches on the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. One match they did point out for the IC title was a really good one. I enjoyed it. It was Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty. I want to say 92 or 93. Might have been 93. That was a really good match. It was first it was still solidifying Shawn as a singles heel. And finally ending that feud with Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
Which that was really good. There was another one with I think it was Triple H versus Goldust.
Yes. That was a street fight, I think.
For the IC title. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, the Kevin Owens from last year, right?
Ambrose.
Yeah.
Talking about matches that like solidified people's careers, that same Royal Rumble in 2008, I remember it vividly. There was a heavyweight title match between Randy Orton as the champion and Jeff Hardy, who was like right on the rise as a singles wrestler, as like a predominant.
Well,
main
that was
eventer.
Right after his return from TNA, right?
Yeah. And that year, that match, Randy Orton beat him, but he got such a reaction that night, and that was one of my favorite matches of the last 10 years with the Royal Rumble, to the point where it was that year that Jeff Hardy actually won his first ever WWE title run. And then the next year after WrestleMania 25, he wound up getting the World Heavyweight title at feuding with CM Punk that year. And all that, he's had the fan base for years, obviously Team Extreme, Hardy Boys, whatever. But that year, starting with that match at the Royal Rumble with Randy Orton, where you could see the momentum starting to turn, where he was collectively going on the rise to where eventually he would get where he would go.
Yeah.
And that's what you've mentioned a couple of podcasts ago, where the Royal Rumble would be a place where you tease guys that could be in the main event to see what kind of reaction they get, to see what they can do in the ring, because at the end of the day, you're not buying the match, the Royal Rumble pay-per-view for, the tag team title match is so awesome. No, you're buying the Royal Rumble for the fucking Royal Rumble.
Right. Yeah.
So you could throw stuff on the wall to see if it sticks, and later on down the road, if it's worth growing, then you go at it.
Well, I mean, that's what they were saying in the documentary itself about Ziggler, you know? Yeah. So they were kind of throwing stuff against the wall there to see if he was ready for the big time. And, you know, he had a really, really good match that a lot of people said was, you know, one of the ones that probably stole the show and maybe stole a little bit of spotlight from the Rumble itself.
Yeah. As far as the Rumble, like going back to the history, and it kind of showcased on here because they didn't really talk about it, but the early days, there wasn't a whole lot of the undercard matches to really talk about. There's a lot of tag team matches, just six-man tags, things like that, or just one-off matches that the mid-card that no one really, you know, it didn't really matter because they're buying it for the Rumble match. You just need something to fill the card, pretty much. It wasn't until, I think, the late 90s that's when it really started again. Matter of fact,
you think maybe the mid-90s, once the Royal Rumble match itself had a purpose to where the winner got the titles, when it started getting more, the pay-per-view itself started getting more attention, and then you started having to put legit matches on
the card. Maybe not to say that there was no good matches up until like the 2000s or anything, but you know, I will say, like, I was just jotting down some matches that were the non-Rumble matches. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, the oldest one I can think of, 1999, Rock versus Mankind, the I Quit match.
I'd go a year before and say the Rock versus Ken Shamrock for the IC title.
That's a good one,
I think,
too.
Thought was even better than the match they had at Mania where Shamrock
was a good feud just in general.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But 98 also had the Shawn Michaels Undertaker, which ended – will end up in his career for a while, for at least 5 years.
That awkward back bump on the edge of the...
Where he, basically snapped his back on the casket. Yeah.
Yeah.
But going the next year after that, 2000 really, I think, set the bar for both the Rumble match, which isn't the best Rumble match, but it's up there. but the undercard really is probably my favorite. The main event match for the non-Rumble match, Cactus Jack versus Triple H.
Yep.
Street fight. That I remember.
It was brutal, man.
I remember thinking around that time, this was the first match that really was starting to solidify Triple H as a heel champion. Heel champion, yes. Not just a fluke.
Even entering the ring, that's the first time that you notice him actually spitting the water out. And that's the beginning where he kind of worked on his entrance to the point where we got the famous Triple H entrance we get now.
That was kind of already a thing, but he was always the heel. He already had shenanigans, things like that. But this is the first true test of how tough he is.
Yeah.
Again, in Madison Square Garden. If you can make it in there, you can make it anywhere.
If you can make it with a piece of a wood pallet stuck in your leg.
That I never knew.
See, I did know that, but I was going to comment on this match before, you know, it showed up on the screen. I was like, that was the match that I was going to want to talk about here today, because that whole Rumble, including that match, I also remember very vividly, because thinking, oh, wow, he really, you know, fell hard on that pallet, and then the rest of the match, all of a sudden, it just bleeds and bleeds and bleeds, and you got a couple of close-ups of it. I'm like, that's not a regular cut. Yeah, it was something that was stuck in there. And then, of course, you know, you got out the 2x4 in the bat wrapped with barbed wire, and of course, Foley's bleeding and Triple H is bleeding. God damn, that match was just tough, man. It was a hard-fought match between both of them. And, I was like, Yes. With this Royal Rumble, I was very much enjoying it. The Rumble match itself was pretty good. You know, it wasn't the best, like you said.
But from the top down, you had Triple H and Foley, and then right beneath it, you had Taz debut. Kurt Angle's mystery opponent.
Somebody debuting at the Royal Rumble pay per view, not in the Royal Rumble match. What? That was cool. It was different.
I remember the only. I love seeing Taz debut. My only bittersweetness about the whole thing was they hyped it up. Like, they tried to recreate the Jericho debut. Mm-hmm. I remember, because, you know, Jericho had the countdown thing, but weeks before the Royal Rumble, they had the boo, 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 you know, and the little logo, what we didn't know.
The heartbeat.
But it was orange and black, the tribal thing. Come on. It was like, it was fucking Taz. You know, we kind of knew who it was. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that he was able to debut.
Like, it's Kurt Angle.
Undefeated Kurt Angle in New York City. Madison Square Garden.
Other than Pittsburgh, he probably would not have gotten that reaction anywhere else as his debut.
That was a good one. But that was the opener of that Royal Rumble. The match right after that, tables match.
Hardy's
the first ever tag team tables match. Yes. Hardy's versus Dudley's.
Yeah.
That is another awesome match as well, too.
Yeah. A lot of stuff started there. A lot of stuff was really getting the ball rolling and getting momentum going at that Rumble. That was a really good Rumble.
Yeah,
pay-per-view.
Yeah, and the Rumble speaks for itself. And that was the main event they talked about on here, where Rock and Big Show tumbled out, and Rock was supposed to hit the floor, but his feet touched it.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, it's live TV.
Kind of was like, I would look at his feet, because I was like, I saw he was reversing, so I was looking at the Big Show's feet, like, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they saved face and made a good angle out of it. It turned into like the first 4-way match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, WrestleMania 2000, every McMahon in every corner.
Yeah.
They had the obligatory, it's all about the numbers.
Yeah. which I like it, but I seeing it every year.
Yeah.
With like just a little update, you know, whatever. It's like, eh. But like, I remember when they first started airing those vignettes, maybe like 7 years ago or something like that. Awesome. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And oh,
it's impressive. Yeah. It's impressive to see the numbers. But yeah. Year after year, it's like,
okay, right. We get it.
Yeah. But you got to do it to the new people, new viewers, and you know,
yeah.
It is what it is. It's part of the.
It's part of what hooks them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for you know. Johnny Come Lately, who doesn't know what Royal Rumble is, and, you know, he's just flipping the channels and he sees this Royal Rumble thing. And yeah, so it gets you hooked. Mm-hmm.
How about your favorite moments in general, the Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
I got one.
Go for it.
This is when Stone Cold was still barely becoming Stone Cold. Cleared out the ring and like he's just throwing mofos left and right.
97.
He's sitting on the turnbuckle listening, looking, just waiting for somebody. Bret Hart's music hits.
Dun, 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 dun,
oh!
And
he looked like he was in trouble.
And then he didn't back away. He was like, let's go. No cowardly heel.
These are some of the iconic images of Stone Cold. You know, the reaction in this thing. You know, you see that in just different,
it's so montages. Great.
Staying on the Stone Cold wagon, 98. The build-up to the Rumble at 98. Every week, Steve Austin's stunning somebody.
Yeah.
My favorite one is when he stunned Jeff Jarrett, and then he's like doing this fucked up walk that Jeff Jarrett did, trying to mimic Ric Flair. So everybody's rumbling against each other, and I think number 18 or number 19, bam, the glass breaks. Everybody stops. Yeah. Everybody turns around and is like, we're going to get this motherfucker as soon as he comes out, and everybody's ready to go.
Man,
motherfucker comes out from behind and starts beating the shit out of everybody.
That was
his second win.
Yeah.
But the whole buildup to that, everybody in the ring selling it, the announcers on the commentary, JR and the King were selling the fact that, oh, man, he's the one that's got a target on his back. Hell, the poster had all these pins in the back of Austin's head. And I was like, yeah, this motherfucker doesn't get it. Sure enough, dude, that was fucking awesome. I loved it.
I got a few good moments. 98 again, the three faces of Foley. He would come in as like Mankind, get eliminated. Like five entrants later, come in as Dude Love, get eliminated. Five entrants later, he's coming in as Cactus Jack. Fucking classic, man.
That was good.
2000, going back to that one, a good moment. You kind of laugh at it now because it's kind of a novelty act now, but Too Cool. You forget how over they were at that time.
Yeah.
But when Rikishi was in there, first it was Grandmaster Sexay, and then Sky Tsuhati just happened to get the next number out when Rikishi was still in there. And then they clear the ring, and it was Grandmaster and Rikishi in the ring, just them two. They're about to fight. The bell goes off. It's Sky Tsuhati just happens to come out. He's running out there. I got the shades, And he puts them on Rikishi to calm Rikishi down, right? So they can all do their dance.
So they're not fighting against each other.
And then the lights go down. You know, come back and start doing the dance. Everybody's going nuts. And then Rikishi grabs both of them and tosses them both
out.
And then he starts dancing again. So it was
all right. I have to say it. It's hard for me to not.
I got another one too.
Pick favorites being there in person. But 2007. The buildup, even on television, Great Khali's out there. He's beating the hell out of everybody, and you can hear Michael Cole. Who can stop? Who can stop the Great Khali? And then the lights go out. Number 30 is the Undertaker, and he's like starts whooping ass. And then at the very end, Undertaker does the sit up. Shawn Michaels does the kip up, and it's not like just a 30-second like. Wham, bam, thank you. Like, they have a 12-minute match. Like, this is a rivalry that's been, like, 7 years in the making, and they come back to a head. And I remember being there. It was sold out, and not one person was sitting down. I was standing up, and I'm in the nosebleeds. Like, I'm on the top level. Everybody's standing up because no one would have ever thought that these two guys that have had this long-ass fucking feud forever would be the last two in the Royal Rumble. And in hindsight, it didn't matter who won because Shawn Michaels went to feud against Cena on Raw and Taker went to feud against Batista on SmackDown. But those 12 minutes in that arena, you can't describe it, dude.
Yeah,
it was my mind was fucking blown.
The last
2007, 10 years ago. Yeah. Again, they're doing the 30th anniversary of the Rumble and then the 20th anniversary of them being in the Alamo Dome. But they're kind of hush hush that this is a 10-year anniversary of that Rumble that ended with HBK and Taker. Holy fuck! And it's obvious how good that was because the next Rumble from 2008 they started with HBK and Taker and built from that.
Yeah.
So
just and then that pick up eventually, eventually led to them having their WrestleMania
the following year after that.
Yeah.
Going back, I got to go old school as far as moment go.
Professor over here.
1990.
All right.
There was a moment. Actually, yeah, there's 80. Well, I got two of them. 89 starts off Demolition X and then Demolition Smash.
Oh.
Start off, they just go into it. They start beating the shit out of each other. I love that. I don't know. There's something about the first time you saw two tag team partners going at it.
Every man for himself.
Every man for himself, yeah.
It established that.
Friend versus friend, foe versus foe.
Actually, 89, which was in the Summit in Houston also. Mm-hmm. That same year, that was Jake the Snake.
Brought in the Snake and Andre eliminated himself.
Yeah.
I knew the light bulbs looked familiar. That's the Summit. I stole one of those at a Chili Peppers
concert. You stole a light bulb from the Summit?
Yeah.
I still have it. All right.
And then, well, I was getting to it just a second before I remember that. 1990, it was the first time we got the two major faces face-to-face.
Hogan and Warrior.
Hogan and Warrior, the stare down. And that's – they went back and forth for a couple minutes. And then that's when – eventually did the build-up for WrestleMania 6.
Yeah.
But that was a cool moment, especially for that time.
Oh, Hogan!
Well, that was the first time the fans had to choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I switched sides on that one. I think I went Warrior.
Oh.
And for all the stuff that we give the props we give to all the commentators now, dude, Shivani in that Rumble match, dude, he's fucking gold. I'm surprised they got rid of him. And wound up him going to
I don't know what the deal is with that. I mean, they really don't even mention Shivani anymore as far as, you
history.
Know, in the history of mm-hmm. WWE. Yeah, it's just kind of weird. He was just there for maybe a year. Mm-hmm. That was about it. But that's those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head as far as moments.
Yeah.
You got any more?
Not any more than the ones we already said.
All right, so what else we
that's
got on
there? That's it, man. And then they pretty much summarized the whole 2016 match with Roman Reigns getting eliminated, League of Nations interfering, AJ's debut, Triple H and Dean Ambrose being the last two, and that pretty much put the last nail in the coffin. That was it.
Okay. There was, in recent years, you know, the wrestling business has kind of changed to where it's more focused on, you know, what the wrestlers can do, athleticism, and not just – theatrics, right?
I'm surprised for all the whole memory segment we did, you didn't mention Kofi once. He's going.
Yeah, I think that's where you're going.
Actually, no, but
okay.
Well, what I was going with that was the quality matches have gotten better in recent years.
Oh yeah. My God.
There was Ziggler versus who does
Edge?
Ziggler versus Edge. And more recent ones, our match of the year candidate was Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt.
Oh, man.
And then also the triple threat match.
Bray hitting D-Bry with Sister Abigail on the side of the rail.
Yeah.
And then throwing them in the ring and hitting them again with this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then Cena, Rollins, and Lesnar from 2015.
That was brutal, man.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, the match quality has gotten better since the days of Bushwhackers versus Beverly Brothers, to open up, or Rockers versus Orient Express.
Well, hell, one man in the documentary itself, One Man Gang, even said, oh, yeah, the big bump where he was going over the top rope, it wasn't that good of a big bump. He even said it himself, it wasn't that great.
I don't know if you remember this, but a few years ago, we got together and we started watching the anthology. We watched the first two years.
Oh, actually, I do. I was
the 89 and 90.
Yeah.
I think it was the ones we watched. And the first one, they were talking about Dino Bravo, how he bench pressed. He had the world record for being the Canada's most strongest man. And then there's Jesse Ventura that was saying that next year, they had brought that same commentary up the following year. Mm-hmm. They said something to the effect of, I wonder if he's still the – I wish I could remember the exact phrasing what he said, but – I thought we both got a laugh about it whenever he mentioned something from a year ago. It's like, shit, he's still talking about that shit?
Yeah.
the laugh I got the most out of was the whole Rumble incident where Piper was helping out Flair and Bobby Heenan on commentary was praising Piper, and then Piper turned on Flair. He's like, that skirt wearing freak.
Yeah, first it was, oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't a skirt. It was a kilt.
It's a kilt.
And then he turns on him, it was a skirt.
Yeah. I remember the first time I watched this documentary at home, watching the whole Piper segment of him winning the title and building up Brett, and now him doing it for him and him being gone now. It kind of pulled the heartstrings a bit.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that that they have that kind of motive to look out for everybody else. You noticed that earlier when Kevin Nash was like, didn't you just see Dolph Ziggler tear the house down with Edge? I'm not going to throw him over.
Yeah.
Leave him in there, you know, and that's the stage that the Royal Rumble gives you, where you can actually do so much and get people in your favor, as opposed to where your trajectory is going.
Yeah. It works for the most part. I'm sure there's some examples of it not working out so well, but they didn't really focus on that, obviously.
Well, I mean, with, you know, minimum 30 participants in one match, yeah, there's going to be a lot of moving parts, a lot of opportunities for there to be fuck-ups. But, I mean, for the most part, it's one of the most beloved things. And, you know, I was talking about this, you know, the other week with my coworker, Arnold. And, you know, we all love – everybody says they love the Royal Rumble. They're like, oh, man, it's one of our favorite things of the year, you know, wrestling-wise. It's like, oh, man, the Royal Rumble's great. And then we sat there and started thinking about, when was the last time we were actually happy with who won the Royal Rumble? And we were like, well, Batista, no. Roman Reigns, no. Well, there's Triple H in there sometime, no, no. And, like, we had to go all the way back to, like, Edge, like, 5-6 years ago or something
like that. For WrestleMania 26, yeah.
Yeah, and we're like, God, the winner is somebody that we haven't been happy with.
Sheamus won it, Del Rio won it.
Del Rio, yeah.
John Cena had won it the year that The Rock had beat CM Punk for the title to once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime.
But I mean, despite the fact that there's been a lot of people that win that smarks don't like, a lot of smarks can genuinely agree and say that, or generally agree and say that, man, the Royal Rumble is like one of their favorite things out of the year. And I think it's because of, well, what they were saying when they were pitching it to Dick Ebersol, where he's like, this will make for great drama, great TV, mm-hmm. where you're bringing a run in legally, you know, every 2 minutes.
Or 90 seconds, depending on which Rumble.
Yeah, and that's
never the same.
Yeah, and that's something I've always said, that especially nowadays, wrestling is missing the element of surprise. But the Royal Rumble is something where, even if you know all the participants, you don't know the order that they're going to come in. And then the fact that you don't always know all the participants, they're able to hide everyone. Every now and again, they're able to hide one or two in there that you don't know. And I think it's one of the last standing things where the element of surprise is so much of an integral part, you know, in wrestling now. It's in the Royal Rumble match.
It's not even that. It's going back to the, you know, disappointment of, like, who's been winning it lately.
Yeah.
I said this last year. Like, I kind of wish – and they kind of sort of did this last year with the way it was
– the winner does not go to WrestleMania for the title shot. Wanted that.
Yeah. If I wanted that because – like the first one, like Hacksaw won it, second year, Big John Studd won it, you know, wasn't even Hogan won it, but he was already the champion, you know, so it's not necessarily, it shouldn't, like, I think it changes up the odds a little bit of who do you think is going to win, you know, the last of.
Yeah. If it wasn't for a shot at the title at Mania, then there's more unpredictability as to who could actually win it. Because if you look at the 30 men or the 30 people that are actually going to enter it, it's like, well, that guy's not going to win because he's a mid card. That guy's not going to win because he's on SmackDown and not Raw. That guy's not going to win because of that. And then you whittle your list down to like 5 possible people that could actually win. And then, yeah, it takes a little bit away from
it. You know, it takes away even more, at least for me. For example, last year we opened the show with Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose in this tables match for the IC title, and then at the very end of the night, it's fucking Dean Ambrose. Like, they mentioned, like, Edge made a good idea, a point to talk about it, where, well, I'm not going to be in the Rumble this year because I'm defending the title. Like, if you already have a match in the undercard, you don't need to be in this Royal Rumble. Like, you don't have to have people pull double duty for this. That's why there's more element of surprise if there's people that you haven't already seen in there.
Right.
You know, there's rumors going out, WWE might have accidentally leaked this, that Roman Reigns is actually going to be in this Royal Rumble. So he's going to lose to Kevin Owens, and then he's going to get back into the Rumble match? Like, that's
rumors, you know.
But even then, like, in a situation where you have guys that have already wrestled in the match before and you're having them back in there, it kind of takes away opportunity from somebody, a surprise, or somebody that could use the rub, as opposed to somebody that we've already seen.
Right.
Unless they're big enough on the card to warrant them being in the Royal Rumble. Like a Kevin Owens or even a Roman Reigns or something like that, you know. If they're a main event caliber wrestler, then why not throw them in the Rumble match? Would you rather have them doing double duty and being up there as main event level, or have, like, those spots given to, like, the
Epico Primo.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah. You know, stuff like that, you know. Yeah. When I see a bunch of, like, no offense to them, but, you know, just the under mid card, yeah. You know, performers come
Ellsworth.
There. Yeah. Oh, dude, I saw him there today. Like he's petitioning to be in the Rumble match and
everything. Yes.
No, what's gonna happen is he's gonna come in there
at number 31. Mm. Oh, wait, hold on a minute, please. We got one more.
No, since this is the year that Goldberg's coming back, I think Goldberg's gonna come back.
Yes.
Oh.
He's gonna come out right after Ellsworth. He's gonna toss him over.
Oh, I would actually really love that. I would love that so much.
Gilbert gets rid of Ellsworth, and then Goldberg gets rid of Gilbert.
Yes.
Lesnar gets rid of Goldberg. All right. And then Taker gets rid of Lesnar, and then Kane gets rid of Undertaker, and then D-Bry gets rid of Kane.
What match you watching?
And then Bray gets rid of D-Bry.
All right. So on the subject, we've gotten a flashback of pretty much most of these high Royal Rumbles that we think highly of, like before WrestleMania 2000, the one before WrestleMania 24. This year we've got Kevin Owens against Roman Reigns for the Universal title, Cena versus AJ for the heavyweight title, and then we've already listed some of the big guys that we've got in the Rumble this year with Lesnar and Taker and Strowman and Chris Jericho, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. What do you guys think on paper with what we've gotten so far?
Well, I don't want to steal our own thunder too much.
I know we have a prediction show coming up, but just.
But I have the feeling that there is a lot of potential for good stuff to happen, and then there's also a lot of potential for a lot of bad stuff to happen.
Ellsworth.
Roman.
Well, that's really where I'm going more with, you know, with Roman or whatever. And then, you know, again, going back to my conversation I had with my coworker, where it's like, the last few years, it's been a little bit too formulaic, a little bit too, like, you could predict it and tell, and it's just going to be these, like, four or five main event guys that even have a shot at winning it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, dude, if they go back to that and they don't have a surprise entrant that's really big or a surprise return that's really big or, hell, a surprise winner that we don't expect to actually win, because you do have pay-per-views in between now and Mania. They could lose their shot, and, hey, at least you made the Rumble interesting again and unpredictable, yeah. You know? I just don't want to see Brock win it or Taker or Roman, you know, because I would feel all of those are too telegraphed, too projected, you know? But there's a lot of stuff that can happen that would be different that I might be excited for. Like if Corbin won it or Strowman won it, like what the fuck? They won it? You know, I would be like, whoa, that's crazy. And like, but what if Finn comes back and Finn wins it? Or not even wins it, but just the fact that Finn fucking shows up, I'm going to be marking the hell out in the San Antonio Dome if Finn shows up.
Ty Dillinger, you know, at number 10.
If Ty Dillinger does not come in at number 10, I don't want him coming in at all. He needs to be in at 10. Also, you know, another thing about that, since everybody's been counting along with the referees when they're doing a count outside the ring, they're going 10, 10. San Antonio needs to not do that. You hear me? Anybody that's going, traveling to
get San it out Antonio, of your system at TakeOver.
Yeah, get it out of your system at TakeOver. Get it out of your system at number 10. Number 10, you know, number 10's coming in. They start the countdown, 10, 9, 8. Just go 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And then if the number 10 entrant is their music
even
hits,
after that,
if the number 10 entrance music hits and it's not Ty Dillinger, shut up with that shit for the rest of the night. If not, you're going to ruin the Royal Rumble
for him,
bitch.
For him, like his opinion really cares, matters, but you know,
do you agree with me on that, Trev? Is it just me? Am I the only one crazy about that shit?
You're crazy, yeah. Okay, here's my issue. First of all, you asked a question, what do you think
what
so
do you
far
think
on
so
paper?
Far? Yeah,
So far, I'm digging what I'm seeing.
Okay.
People, again, on the internet like to bitch and moan about who's on the front of the poster, you know. Mm-hmm.
Shit, I haven't even seen the poster. I'm trying to buy it.
Yeah, the one that has, everybody, you know, Undertaker, yeah. Goldberg, Lesnar.
AJ way in the back.
But here's the thing. It's a star-studded Royal Rumble. Yeah. I'm gonna be live in person in a Royal Rumble match with Goldberg, Lesnar, Undertaker. Those three, this alone, much less whatever surprises we're going to get in there.
Not to mention your first Royal Rumble.
Yeah, my first Royal Rumble I'm going to.
My first two.
Third? I'm looking forward to it. I was thinking about the Ty Dillinger thing. I don't want him to come in at number 10, only because it's supposed to be luck of the draw. And unless he's freaking Domino from X-Force, I don't see how he's going to have – he's going to happen to pick
– Number 10.
Out of the 30 numbers, he's just going to happen to pick number 10.
Would it fix it for you if they showed him, like, trading with somebody backstage or cutting a deal with somebody?
No, it ruins the surprise element. You want it to be Dillinger.
No, after the fact. Like, after the fact. He comes in at 10, and then, like, on WWE.com, you know.
It'd be too.
All right.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
I don't know if you got anything else. I was going to ask, do y'all have a favorite Rumble match?
Like the Rumble itself?
Just the Rumble match itself. I got one, but I just want to know if y'all got one too.
Man, that's so hard because there's always so many ups and downs with different Rumbles.
Not for me, John.
Okay, well, you know what? I don't.
Again, it's hard for me to be biased, unbiased. But like you mentioned earlier, that the last couple of Rumbles, like, you know who's going to win. You know how this is going to go. Last year, I had no idea AJ was appearing.
Yeah.
I had no idea that Dean Ambrose, as much as I gave shit earlier about him being double duty, that he was going to be in the last two, especially on the high they were on. I'm going to keep harping to this until the day I get cremated. He should have won that Rumble.
Yeah.
He was right there. You had already, last year in Elimination Chamber, you had already cock teased that he was going to win it and you took it away from him. Mm-hmm. You should have pulled the trigger then, right there at that Royal Rumble. And it hasn't been this, and honestly, it hasn't been the same for him since. Mm-hmm. Even with his title run now, before he lost it to AJ, he's never had that same high he did when he was at the Rumble last, right in the ring.
He got struck with Iron Todd.
And they didn't.
Yeah, they just gave it
My favorite
yeah.
Royal Rumble match is last year's.
That was because
I didn't see any of that coming, and I was, oh my God. Yeah.
I liked it for the same reason he said. Plus, they did what I said to do, put the title on the line, make it different from what we've seen ever since.
Don't keep it as a WrestleMania fixation.
Exactly, yeah. And, of course, if you still want to have that connection to WrestleMania, so the winner still is in the main event, Triple H is Triple H. I mean, say what you will about him, but,
yeah,
he's up there, yeah.
That was another surprise. I didn't see Triple H coming. He wasn't even listed.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I agree with you with the rest of them.
My favorite Rumble match, just by itself, 1992, Ric Flair.
Okay. Oh, yes. That's
60-minute man going all the way for the title.
Rollins actually putting that over, that it was the first Rumble where you didn't have to be a big guy throwing people out. It was you being a survivor to being
not
able
only
to
that,
win it.
Not only that, but going back and you go back and watch that Royal Rumble, that is a genuine who's who of 80s and 90s wrestlers.
Okay.
Just about damn near every person that comes out,
Hogan, Warrior,
it's Sid somebody. Vicious, Rick it is Flair, somebody that Sid is Snake, is well Piper. Known.
Yeah.
It's just a great from bell to bell. That's just a solid Rumble match.
I have a honorable mention. 2001 in New Orleans.
That's a good
where
one.
Steve Austin coming back from neck injury with that Disturbed glass shatter theme, mm-hmm. and that crowd went like apeshit bananas. Right. And that had that was the one that Kane had the record eliminations. Mm-hmm. Honky Tonk comes out playing the guitar and Kane hits him and he just like, no, it's not gonna fly play. And then the last one, Stone Cold and Kane, is like, holy shit. And they done a pretty good job of building Kane up as
Drew Carey?
Yes, yeah. That's the one where Drew Carey was in the ring with the Hardys and they both eliminated each other out. And he's like, yeah, I'm the best. And then out comes Kane. He throws all the money. And that was an entertaining Royal Rumble. And that was before you knew of surprises, of stuff behind the curtain. You just knew as a fan, holy shit, Stone Cold's coming back. He's whooping some motherfuckers. This is going to be good.
You know,
before tainted with the whole backstory knowledge and shit.
You know, let me throw one out there. And I'm not sure what number. I want to say maybe 94, but I'm not sure. The one where – we thought Bulldog won.
Shawn Michaels, the 1 foot thing. Yeah,
that was a really good Rumble. And when I remember as a kid, still not being smart to the fact that you know it was all rigged and all that, and always liking the British Bulldog and always hating Shawn Michaels, I was so happy that Bulldog won it. And then when Shawn went in there and toppled him over and they said, oh, I was so livid. Again, another thing with like the Cena thing where it's very memorable, not because I liked him, but because I hated it. You know,
it
Shawn Michaels
stinks.
Going out there and toppling him over. And I was like, ah, oh, no, this isn't fair.
Did you cry? You were
I
young.
I probably did. I am not
surprised now. What are you talking about?
I'm shit.
Just yesterday. Yeah. Well, I saw a Facebook picture.
Yeah. So that was a good one. All right, guys, close it out. I want to ask you guys a question that was posed to me again by my coworker Arnold. Is this DVD, the true story of Royal Rumble, worth buying? Because it's not on the network. It's not something you could just turn on.
Yeah, well, it'll be there soon.
It's not something you could just get on the network and just turn on for your $9.99 a month.
You know, me personally, I've been transitioning to digital a lot.
Okay.
When you buy a documentary like Dallas Page or Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, you're going to get the documentary, which is like an hour and a half to 3 hours. WCW one's like 3 hours. And then you get like two or three discs worth of matches. All that shit's on the network now.
Okay.
So me being digital, I bought this movie on iTunes for $10. For $10, the documentary itself was well worth it for me. And like I said, like I mentioned earlier, I watch this every other week. And this was before we got our tickets in hand for the Rumble. Now I watch it like almost every other, like almost every other day, like in pieces, just to see like moments, like Ultimate Warrior and Hogan in the ring for the first time. Like I'm like, amped. $10 for the documentary by itself, digitally, it's worth every penny for me.
This was such a good documentary. It's WWE. It's hard for them to produce a bad documentary, but they have to try to do that, right?
Yeah.
But
Self-Destruction Ultimate Warrior.
Bingo, bingo.
What?
I liked it, but it's some might consider it as bad, depending on what.
Oh, yeah.
It was alternative facts.
Yes. Revisionist.
Fake news.
No, for what it's worth, the DVD is awesome. The documentary is awesome. I would buy it on Blu-ray just to have all the. I'm a sucker for the special features. Mm-hmm. So, and that stuff, I don't think you get the special features when you get the digital. So, if you're not into the special features, no big deal. Just, you know, digital, whatever. I got to have it tangible in my hands. I got to have the everything.
You're an old school collector.
Yeah. So, sorry.
What would be your threshold to buy said Blu-ray? Would $20? Be okay?
Oh, 20, 25, somewhere there.
25, so 30, no?
Steelbook.
Well, I'm just a cheap ass, so I don't know. It'd probably be 25.
All right.
But you can't go wrong.
Walmart will sell it for $5 eventually.
Yeah,
just hold out.
For me, I enjoyed it. If I were to go the route that you went where you're only downloading just the documentary part and that's it, digitally, man, I'd probably buy it if it were like maybe $5, $7, $10. I'm like, I'm not sure.
Buy it only because I know eventually it's going to be on the network. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be digital anyways.
Yeah. Why not wait for the network?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess the short answer would be it depends, you know, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed sitting here with you guys watching it. I think you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully you listening to us enjoyed, you know, us talking about it. Maybe you go check it out, or if you already seen it, you can let us know. You go on our Facebook page, let us know what you think. Facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio or on Twitter @HWrestlingRadio. Also, if you're watching this right now on YouTube, drop something in the comments if you don't want to go to the Facebook, or if it's just easier for you that way. You know, we
try. Tell us your favorite Royal Rumble moment. What's your favorite Royal Rumble match? Your non-Rumble match? Just your overall favorite. What are your favorite surprises, returns, debuts?
Yeah, that's good. Also, hit the subscribe button. That way, every time that we do something as a Houston Wrestling Radio, you get it and you'll see it and it'll be right there. Whether it's just our regular thing that we do every Wednesday, where the Wednesday show, where we talk about, you know, everything that happens throughout the week, or if it's one of our dark match episodes where we watch something in the wrestling world like New Japan or
pay-per-view
big event. Immediately after, we get on there and tell you what you think, or something like this. This is the first time we've done Turnbuckle Theater.
And it won't be the only.
It won't be the only. We'll try.
Apparently, these two have never seen the resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts.
That's true.
Yeah, so we might have to figure something out and do this again.
Yeah, so there's going to be more stuff like this similarly down the pipeline. So hit that subscribe button.
We do surprises now and then, too, so if you're a subscriber, you're the first to know, sometimes before the rest of the people do. So.
Yeah. So if you're watching us on your mobile device or on the TV through YouTube, thank you so much. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit share. Tell your friends. Let them know about us, and that'll help us out, and we'll be able to bring you guys more content. Anything else? Are we missing anything, fellas?
That's the show, man.
That's it. Tune in Wednesday live, 8 p.m. We will do our show for this week, where we will be previewing NXT TakeOver and be previewing the Royal Rumble itself. So that's going to be a good show as well. So until then, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles.
We need to get an actual
fucking curtain. Yeah.
Visual effect for that there.
Yeah, we'll get bacon on there.
Travis's face.
Pull some from theater art from theater.